Chapter 10.
You're awfully quiet, Voss said as they prepped the ship for takeoff.
I don't have anything to say.
Apparently, Voss did.
I know. It rattled me, too. We're so used to bringing in Sleemos and criminals, it's hard to adjust to rescuing someone's mate and kids.
As long as the credits are good, I'll bring in whoever anyone wants.
The pat words were easily spoken, but Ventress knew it was a lie. And not the first she had told Voss. Not that long ago, Ventress had not worked alone. She had been part of a team of bounty hunters led by Boba Fett. The team had been tasked with the delivery of a crate of mysterious but precious cargo. Ventress had discovered that the cargo packed in the crate was a young woman named Pluma Sodhi. The girl, who looked to be only in her teens, had been abducted from her family and was being delivered to a greedy and lecherous Belugan named Atua Blank, who planned to make her his bride against her will. Ventress had not delivered Pluma Sodhi like a wrapped present to the disgusting Belugan. She'd released Pluma and placed Boba Fett in the container in the girl's stead. Sometimes Ventress wondered if the boy would ever forget that incident. But she had no regrets. Even so, she did not like the memory. In that moment, Ventress had been soft, and life had taught her that the universe was not kind to the soft. Voss eyed her.
Really?
Really?
He shrugged.
If you say so.
Shut up and enter the coordinates for Mustafar.
Yes. Scenic Mustafar. Because everyone looks good in red lighting. Become a bounty hunter. See the galaxy.
She would never admit it, but while there were times when she wanted to throttle Quinlan Voss, who never seemed to have a bad minute, let alone an entire bad day, there were also times when his ebullience was welcome. Ventress was none too keen on visiting Mustafar. No one in her right mind would be. The only thing it was good for was lava, and the only people who lived there were those who had the dangerous job of harvesting the molten export, Black Sun, who found the lava handy as well, specifically for convenient disposal of evidence, and various and sundry beings who either didn't want to be found or had control of others they didn't want found. Standing in the throne room, hearing that the destination was Mustafar and the obstacle toward recovering the bounty was Black Sun, Ventress had been tempted to walk. But Marg Krim was very powerful in his current position. And while everything had to be kept on the down low, earning his gratitude could be lucrative over and above the already exorbitant fee they'd been promised. Well, who wanted to live forever anyway? They came out of hyperspace with a red planet looming before them. Voss opened his mouth to speak, and Ventress turned to him with a finger raised in warning.
Not one word about the color, she said.
He laughed brightly.
How did you know?
He sounded delighted.
If there's a bad joke to be made, you'll make it. More than once.
Voss heaved an exaggerated sigh.
Guilty as charged.
He shrugged, as if he hadn't been about to make another joke about the color. Ventress maneuvered the Banshee through thick clouds of black smoke to settle on a landing platform at the edge of a rough-looking mining town. The platform and the town itself were precariously perched on a ledge overlooking a river of orange liquid. Had this been Naboo or any other more hospitable world, and the liquid the cool blue of water, it would be prime real estate. But here, it was just a collection of shanties to house the unfortunates whose job it was to harvest the lava. Ventress debated putting on a breath mask, but decided against it. The masks were vital if one was constantly exposed to the fumes, but a few hours here wouldn't harm them. The heat was oppressive, but endurable. The natives of this world, the Mustafarians, did wear breath masks while working near the lava. It made them all look mysterious and uniform. As passers-by peered up at them curiously, Ventress realized belatedly that the masks could have helped camouflage them.
I hate small towns,
she muttered, as she and Voss hurried toward a cluster of the rideable lava fleas that the Mustafarians had long ago domesticated.
Everybody knows everybody's business.
Yeah, but in this case, that's going to help us.
Except within an hour, everyone will know we're here.
They approached a stooped Mustafarian who clearly owned the fleas. A price was agreed on, and credits changed hands.
It's a bit warm here, isn't it?
Voss commented as they mounted their rented fleas. The Mustafarian glared at him and did not reply. Voss persisted.
Makes you thirsty. Where can we get a drink?
The last resort,
the Mustafarian said, his voice sounding muffled through the breath mask.
That the best bar in town?
Ventress asked. The Mustafarian laughed.
Only bar in town.
Guess that's the place to be,
Voss said.
Thanks.
He tugged gently on the reins, and the creature gave an obedient leap in the direction of town. Ventress copied Voss's motions, but her flea just shuffled awkwardly and gave a couple of hesitant hops. She placed a hand on its shiny carapace and thought,
You're not too big to squash.
She was no telepath, but she pushed her intention at it through the force, and it began to lurch sullenly after Voss and his mount. Ventress's eyes watered from the smoke. She refrained from coughing by sheer determination and concentrated on guiding her flea through the town. The narrow streets were growing increasingly packed with workers of an astounding variety of species, and most of them, she observed, seemed to be headed in the same direction.
It must be quitting time at the mine, she commented. Let's just follow the crowd.
The mass of miners flowed like the lava, and the two rented fleas didn't take much encouraging to join the current. Sure enough, the last resort appeared shortly. It was a large building, just as run down as the rest of the town.
Looks like we found our bar,
Voss mused as he reined in and urged his mount to join the other lava fleas tied to the hitching post. He and Ventress dismounted. Inside, the bar smelled little better than the fumes exuded by the lava, and Ventress reflected that no matter what their decor or patron variety, places like this all had the same feel about them. A sense of despair, sullen resentment, and hunger, spiked here and there with a sharp upswing of short-lived euphoria. Here, though, a dull exhaustion was the dominant sensation, eclipsing the other emotions. The miners were being ground down, a little each day, to a sort of bitter lethargy that was... Ventress turned her head, following a thread of bright arrogance that wove throughout the blunter emotions. Her gaze fell on a group of burly Faline. They wore nothing that definitively marked them as members of Black Sun, but they didn't need to. Their posture and physiques, powerful, not just from physical exertion, but also from good nourishment, set them apart from the majority of the bar's patrons, most of whom slumped over their glasses as if already half dead. One of the Faline sat in a corner by himself, legs outstretched, draining a mug as he regarded his fellow drinkers with a thinly veiled expression of contempt on his mottled green face. As if reading her thoughts, Voss murmured,
I think we've found a winner.
It was almost too easy.
Sit back and relax, Ventress said. I've got this one.
So, what do you think? The nod and a wink, or the full-on gambit?
Oh, definitely the full-on gambit for this one,
she said. This arrogant Faline would be offended and curious if he thought his powerful pheromones weren't working on her. Voss's eyes danced.
Be my guest.
He stepped back, merging seamlessly with the shadows and the hunched shapes of the regulars. Ventress stood for a moment, letting the Black Sun Faline's gaze come to her first. When their eyes met, she walked slowly to the bar and slipped into the seat beside him.
Hello there, soldier.
He smirked.
Hello yourself, gorgeous.
Can I get a pretty lady like you something to drink?
Ventress licked her lips, keeping her gaze locked with his.
I'm not thirsty. Not for alcohol, anyway.
She leaned closer and whispered.
It's hard to talk in here.
She ducked her head, running a hand through her short, fair hair. The signal they had agreed upon, that first time she and Voss had tried this together on their hunt for the pirate's wandering lover. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw a figure slip out of the room.
The Black Sun guard was so proud of himself and his oh-so-irresistible pheromones. This was going to be fun.
Yeah, it is hard to talk,
he replied.
Then let's get out of here.
He almost knocked the stool over getting to his feet.
Ventress winked at him and took him by the hand, leading him through the cluster of sorrowful drunkards down a dark corridor toward the restroom. The guard didn't waste much time, shoving the door open and kicking it closed behind him.
Come here, pretty lady.
He grabbed Ventress by the shoulders, pushed her against the wall, and leaned in for a kiss. Ventress's hand was on his chest. She chuckled throatily.
Not so fast, buddy. Didn't we leave the barroom because we wanted to talk? Give a girl some conversation first.
He pulled back, his grin widening as he looked her up and down.
You're a tough one, aren't you?
You have no idea, came a cheerful male voice. The guard, taken completely by surprise, grunted.
Huh?
As he turned to stare at Voss, who had been awaiting their arrival, concealed in one of the stalls. Watching as Voss slammed his lower left arm into the falling's throat, Ventress had to wonder if the Black Sun Syndicate was losing its edge. The guard choked slightly, but recovered enough to strike. It was a swift blow, but Voss ducked it with those almost unnaturally fast reflexes of his booted foot crunching into the falling's knee. The guard doubled in pain, and Voss flipped him over the rest of the way, so he ended up sprawled on the sticky floor, with Voss's knee on his throat. For good measure, Voss grabbed the guard's arm and bent it back at a clearly painful angle. Voss looked up at Ventress and grinned. She let herself return the smile as she sank down beside the guard, her gaze on him as cold now as it had been inviting before.
Who are you?
The guard demanded, his eyes flitting back and forth from one to the other.
Ventress ignored the query.
Where are the Pike hostages?
Hostages?
He tried to look innocent. It didn't suit him.
She sighed.
Come on, honey. Don't make this more difficult.
As if on cue, Voss leaned a little forward on the Black Sun guard's neck, pulled a little back on his arm, and the falling broke just that fast.
They're in the main holding cell, at the house!
We're going to need more than that, Voss said.
No! I can't! They'll kill me!
Patience had never been Ventress's strong suit. The Black Sun guard represented the sort of person she despised most. The kind of swaggering thug who had no passion, no drive for anything but his own base pleasure. She drew her lightsaber and activated it with a snap hiss.
Yes, you can. Or we'll kill you.
Okay.
Voss eased up on the falling's throat. The guard coughed, then spoke.
Upper level. Left-hand side. The doors are all rigged with defenses, and there are 12 guards on duty at all times. 6 above and 6 below.
Ventress smiled, extinguished her blade, and patted his cheek.
There. Was that so difficult?
Even now, the guard looked hopeful. Ventress shook her head, made a fist, and punched him in his overlarge jaw.
His eyes rolled back in his head, and he went limp. She had originally wanted to kill him, but Voss had convinced her that they didn't want to have Black Sun after them for murder if it could be avoided. And really, All they needed was to keep the guard out of the way long enough for them to get in, get Krim's mate and children, and get out.
Don't worry,
Boss said as he dragged the guard into the end stall.
He won't be waking up anytime soon. Not from one of your trademark punches.
He paused, then on a whim, arranged the unconscious Faline in an undignified position. Ventress didn't want to smile, but she couldn't help it.
Come on. We've got a fortress to infiltrate.